Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Joshua Toto, and this is a little bit off the screen here. I don't know if we can. Thank you. I'm presenting, like Ben mentioned, I'm an analyst at the Children's Environmental Health Initiative. We are based out of the School of Natural Resources and Environment at the University of Michigan. And today I'm presenting on behalf of my co-authors, the director and dean of the School of Natural Resources and Environment at the University of Michigan, CDC, and the Iowa Department of Public Health, the Hennepin County, Minnesota Department of Public Health, and the Washington County, Minnesota Department of Public Health. All right? I have no relationships to this close. Okay. So my talk today is going to draw from lessons learned from an ongoing GIS capacity building project. Our group is partnered with the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors and U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention Unit, to train state and local health departments to use GIS, right? To incorporate GIS into their daily operations. The idea being that we'd like to make it another tool in their toolkit to address priorities related to heart disease, stroke, and other chronic diseases. So today we've been through 5 training cohorts, and I'll talk a little bit more about our experiences. We just completed the 5th training cohort actually last month. So what I'm going to be talking about today draws from those experiences. It's an ongoing project, so we're still collecting follow-up data from our earlier cohorts. Okay? So as I said, 5 cohorts have completed this project-based GIS training program, and I'm going to talk about some of our learnings from these experiences. We found that the ability for our participating health departments to incorporate GIS into their programs short-term and also long-term heavily relies on the status of their information technology infrastructure. That's a mouthful, so I'm going to call it ITI, if everyone's okay with that moving forward, ITI. So we found that if and when health departments are able to integrate and align their ITI with their developing or fledgling GIS programs, we've got a much higher success rate. So I'm going to talk about some key information technology or ITI considerations for what I'm going to term a Health Geographic Information System, or HGIS. We're going to show some successful examples of how folks have adjusted or shifted their ITI and been able to integrate it into their, what I'm calling the HGIS. And I'm also going to talk about some, I guess, important ITI components that we found from our experience that really have created success stories from our participants. Okay? So, as I mentioned before, this is a project-based, this is kind of the project's overall schematic. If you're interested in learning more about the training to date, there's a publication in PDC's Chronic Diseases, Preventing Chronic Disease online journal. The citation is below there on this particular slide. This project brings together selected state health departments and local health departments with our group and with CDC and NACDD to develop projects. I mean, the idea behind this training is that they learn by doing. So the projects are actually developed by our participating health departments. So we have to get to know them pretty well. And we collect a lot of information on a number of components and programs within each one of the health departments. All right? So the idea, again, behind this, the big picture idea behind our project is we want to increase GIS capacity, or HGIS capacity, in local and state health departments. And we found that this increased GIS capacity supports the special flavor of GIS, which I'm going to call HGIS. So I'm going to define that a little bit better here on my next slide. So to date, 5 cohorts, or 35 health departments in total. So there are 25 state health departments you can see depicted in this map in various phases, and 11 local health departments that have participated in the training project. And we'd like to say that all of them have been successful to a certain degree, and they have, but we notice that there are not disparities, but differences in outcomes. And they're not always exactly the way we thought, what we thought from the onset of each experience. So what I'd like to talk about is some of those success stories. And again, I mentioned that term HGIS, and it's a real term. It's actually been coined. This in a recent publication by Miranda et al. In Health Affairs last month, there is a paper entitled Geographic Health Information Systems, a Platform to Support the Triple Aim. Okay, so what's different? Everyone here, this is a GIS session, so you're probably familiar with what a GIS is, right? They're kind of the five standard components: people, software, hardware, and methods, right? You can bend those in different ways, but that's the general layout. So Health GIS is no different. It's the same, but we're just focused on health outcomes. And the idea between HGIS is we're interested in making connections between previously disparate data sets. And we do that based on location. And this creates new opportunities for discovery and understanding, particularly with health outcomes. So we're saying that HGIS offers a way to integrate existing data systems and information technology infrastructures. Because the truth, based on our experiences right now, most existing health department data systems don't connect data sets across multiple divisions and units, right? So isolated data systems can't really support an integrated HGIS. So HGIS offers a path to an integrated data system that relies heavily on an organization's health information technology infrastructure. That's just, I guess that's kind of a fancy way of saying IT. And we can discuss that later. I'm going to define what I mean when I say ITI. All right. So I'm going to use a comprehensive definition. So this is everything that supports the flow and processing of information within an organization. Okay. In this case, we're talking about state and local health departments. So starting at the bottom, the basis of this is data, our data, depending on where you're from. So when I say data, I'm talking about storage, standards, documentation, and design. We think this is the most important. Policies. When I say policies, I'm talking about security, support, monitoring, access, data use agreements, and in-service training. Hardware, the machines, computers, both virtual and physical, servers, physical networks, and routes and switches. Software. We're talking about vendors, licensing contracts, and maintenance agreements. And at the top there, we're talking about people. So the considerations are staffing, technical capacity, communication, in situ expertise, and professional and social networks. So this is our framework for taking a look at information technology infrastructure within health organizations at the state and local level. Okay? So we've already kind of recognized that HGIS requires an integrated data system, and it's really dependent on characteristics of each organization's ITI. So we're interested in the training because we want our trainees to be successful. We gather a lot of information on their information technology infrastructure at two points in time. We do it before the training, during the selection process. We collect information on those components that I mentioned on the previous slide. We do it after. So this kind of gives us an indication of the immediate changes within the 9-month training period. All right. And we know these are some examples. If you're interested in looking at some successful examples from our past participants, this is from the CDC's GIS Chronic Disease Exchange website. So this is CDC is interested in kind of fostering a community of users in GIS, and these are all examples from past participants. So we know that our participants can successfully use GIS products, whether you're talking about analyses, maps, or other documents, to support their existing priorities. So we know there's value to this, but we know that some teams are actually more successful than others. And we look to kind of an analysis at the information technology infrastructure before and after the training to kind of get a better grasp of what's going on, what's changing. Okay, so again, we administer this 100% survey, a series of questionnaires that we send out to all the participants in each health department, ranging from 2 to 4 participants. The team leads defined managers for all the participants on the team and information technology contacts at each health department at the start of the training and the end of the training. And then we're interested in looking at what changed for our participants during the project. And then we can kind of, by evaluating some of their products and having follow-up discussions with these participants, we can say which one of these changes or considerations are most essential for establishing this newly developed GIS capacity within the health departments. Okay, so the first that I'm going to talk about here is data. These are some of the, so we're looking at our results. Again, we've had a total of five cohorts, so we're looking at our results from the starting and ending points across all of our participants. And the first that we're going to discuss, I'm going to share with you guys, are data considerations. So there are a number of these, and I'm going to kind of run through the highlights. The first of which is standardization, right? And this sounds like common sense, but it's not always the case in all health departments. So the first kind of thing we noticed was successful teams developed a standardized project directory structure. And these are for shared resources on a network accessible by folks on the team or within the health department. They developed simple things like standard naming conventions for different files and data types. And they also developed and enforced a standardized documentation regime or metadata, right? So they actually enforce the creation and maintenance of metadata. So all of these things go a long way in kind of establishing credibility for this new core group of data consumers and producers, and this helps them actually integrate their data into existing protocols or standards for data within the health department. So they're the new kids on the block, but they're playing by the rules established by long-time data users. Okay. One other kind of key element related to data is the access, so shared data access. So creating a network location where everyone who's working with GIS, if you folks have some experience working with GIS, you know that access and location and referencing particular data sets is essential. So having shared access is a really simple thing that you can do to really encourage collaboration across your GIS users. And when you have more people kind of sticking their hands in the box, it's important that everyone's playing by the same rules. And that kind of fits hand in glove with the idea behind standardization and documentation with data products. So the kind of the next piece is related to architecture. So if you have a bunch of people using this box, utilizing this box, this space, you want to make sure that you have kind of a flexible architecture, right? So you have different people with different levels of expertise. So designing a data architecture or warehouse that can support multiple areas of interest and support larger integration goals. What I'm saying, there's flexibility in how this storage space is designed and maintained. Okay, and then also having some criteria for determining what is going to be elevated. So if you have data within your health department setting environment, computing environment, if you're going to move on to serving data to stakeholders outside of the health department, having a standardized process in place for determining what's going to be moved and what the requirements are. Okay, I need to speed up here. Policies. I think probably the single most important take-home message with this is related to HIPAA and HITECH. Are folks in here familiar with that? Is that something you've heard before? Okay, so when you talk about mapping and you talk about HIPAA or HITECH, a lot of people get nervous and concerned. So I think a lot of people within our health departments, they recognize a need for increased institutional knowledge related to HIPAA. You know, what's required, what you can do, what you can't do, right? And that goes a long way for determining. I think a lot of times people thought what they were doing was okay, and in some cases it wasn't. And in other cases, people thought they couldn't do something, and they actually could. So training, establishing training is a big piece of that. And before I go on to the next slide, I'll mention managerial support. It's clearly related to policy. So the software that we use for this training project is not free, so it requires some managerial support, both for purchasing the software licenses, but then, more importantly, learning the software. There's a steep learning curve initially, so managerial support is essential related to policies. I'm not going to spend a lot of that time talking about hardware because increasingly that's a non-issue, right? So we found over the course of our cohorts that there are fewer and fewer states that do not meet the minimum computing requirements. And this is linked to resources, but most people have the computing power required to run the software. Now, if you're talking about existing physical networks or routes and switches between units and divisions to create shared spaces, that's another question, but the technology is there. It's a matter of managerial wherewithal or policies to make that happen. I'll mention the software. The software requires kind of an integrated approach because the licensing and maintenance of the software that's used for this project is non-trivial. So it does require some expertise. If your IT is handling licensing from a central location, there you have to bring them up to speed with how the software works and who needs access. And finally, I'll discuss people. So they're undoubtedly important, but I think the take-home message for most of our participants was to create a community of users, right? To create a local in situ expertise related to GIS from multiple units or divisions within the health department. Kind of a round table where people can get together and discuss issues and problems related to this newly developing capacity. Okay? So I mentioned we gathered data from two points in time, beginning and ending. So that's important for us to get an understanding of what's going on during the project period, but we're also interested in what's going on after the fact. So our first training groups of cohorts were almost 6 years ago now. So we're interested in knowing what's going on, what was actually important. We have an idea of what they thought was important, what we thought was important back when they completed the training, but what's actually important after the fact and who's still using GIS. So we want a better understanding of what success looks like, what's going on, you know, 1 year after they completed the training and more. And we're hopeful this will give us some more insight. We have an idea of what kind of immediate changes are required, but what are the long-term changes that are required for sustainability? So we have a series of questionnaires out that are focused on, you know, which units are using GIS, what changes have occurred, and what strategy you're using to kind of build or sustain your GIS capacity. That's out right now. We're kind of looking at the results, but they're consistent with what we found with the shorter-term changes. And increasingly, data and policy concerns, if we're using that same framework of ITI, are the two most important considerations. We can also track the progress of our past participants. This is another opportunity for us to do so. We always keep track. We keep in touch with folks who have been through the training program, but this is Preventing Chronic Disease has a new feature called GIS Snapshots, and we're happy to report that a lot of our past participants are the poster people for this particular new and really a neat opportunity to learn more about how folks are using GIS within local and state health departments. The URL is there. This is a map from this is the current version of the GIS snapshots, and this is a map from a past participant. So we can take a look at outcomes over time and see how folks are either evolving or not continuing to use the GIS skills that they picked up in the training. Okay, so I kind of went through that parts of that pretty fastly. I'd like to acknowledge the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors, and past and present state and local health department participants. I'd also have to mention ESRI, who provides a software grant, so participating health departments can acquire the software free of charge. There's my email address if anyone has any questions.